This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's not!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, everyone. Let's start ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
By saying good evening to Michael.
They're dead to me.
And to Michael again.
But I don't waste time hating them.
Hear it in the voice, right?
But I don't waste time hating them.
And to Michael again. And to Don and Michael.
We've got a no-hitter.
No-hitter.
We've got a no-hitter.
And to our caller from earlier.
God is a Yankee fan.
His friend thought that was very funny.
Yeah. God is a Yankee fan.
God is a Yankee fan. Explain to me why
probably,
the judge...
Probably right.
Well, why isn't the judge deal done then?
Well, if it... You know, maybe that's not the plan.
Yeah. Come on, that's getting deep now.
That's super deep. Was it part of the plan to not win a championship for the last 13 years? Or?
Well, it was part of the plan to give them 27 before that, so they've got a nice little cushion over everybody
else.
Yeah,
but if he was a Yankee fan, wouldn't it be every year?
He doesn't want to tip his hand, though.
Right.
Make it obvious. You
like
know what
me
I mean?
In politics, you're saying. He doesn't want people to know.
Right.
Wants to just keep it right down the middle. I get
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I mean, look at you. People think you lean one way or the other.
They don't know.
Adversely affects you.
Yeah.
Where is there any evidence on the air that you
That's
could
what
tell?
I'm saying. You wouldn't be able to know. You have to make it up.
He's a fence sitter.
People do make it up, by the way, with you. You never talk politics on the show, and it's like in their head that you do.
I love my commies. That's the most you'll hear from me on the subject here. But if you look at my social media on a daily basis, the consensus is I know nothing about sports.
Zero.
And I've ruined the show and killed the ratings with my political talk.
Well, some salient points.
Let's get into Diamond Notes, brought to you by Nissan, and hear from Mr. Show Buckwalter.
No, it's Buck Showalter.
Oh, sorry. I get dyslexic sometimes. This is Buck discussing David Peterson's rough outing last night.
I know the numbers will think really wild. He had two pitches that were probably strikes up in the zone. He didn't get the count turned around. Just kept waiting for him to get his footing, and he just couldn't seem to find it. You know, there's some mechanical things that, you know, real good when he's able to be doing the things right. He knows it. That's why he pitches so well at times. Night was a night that he just couldn't find his foot and get it going. Kept waiting for him to make some good pitches. Just snowballed on him. Couldn't get it righted. We did a great job out of the pen. Trevor was great. Tommy, all those guys gave us a chance to get back in it.
Now, Peterson, to his credit, took full blame for the loss.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't know that the time has anything to do with it. It's more about playing for the guys in this room and the staff that we have, and you know, the way that I didn't put us in a good spot from the get-go. That's the thing I'm most frustrated about, and this one's on me. Put us in a hole early, and I put us in a tough spot, and I'm going to have to learn from it and be better.
Was that Peterson or Sam Darnold?
I thought the beginning was Tiger Woods.
Sam Darnold used the S-word a lot.
I
see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But... The talk has been that when Scherzer comes back and you go to the playoffs, that Peterson will be your lefty out of the pen. But, Michael, what good's a lefty out of the pen if he can't find the strike zone? And I'm not just talking about last night. He's not a strike thrower. I don't think that's a good idea. We'll have to ask Buck tomorrow of having, even though he's a lefty, it'd be nice to have him come out of the pen. If you're not going to throw strikes, you're not helping anybody.
Also, a little bit of Met news. I don't know if you saw this. It just came over, Peter.
SNY
is reporting that Sandy Alderson will be transitioning out of his role as Mets president. He's expected to remain with the organization. Interviews are already underway for the next team president.
Well, we kind of knew this, right?
I don't know if we thought it was going to be now.
I just felt that transition was going to be happening sooner than later, but I didn't have a timetable on it. You want to interview for it, Michael?
No, I'm
just to you know, to build up the skills. I might throw
I'm
that in the ring.
Listen, well, I mean, when my resume, it says my name, and then under that it says Yankee boy, it would be a hard, you know, hard interview to get the Mets presidency.
That is tough.
You know, I'm working from a disadvantage right away.
All right.
It's unfair.
Let's move to the Yankee side of things for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
We had Aaron Boone on the program earlier.
And,
he didn't hesitate to say that Aaron Judge should be the AL MVP.
I get it. I mean, Ohtani is, it's unreal what he's doing on both sides of the ball. But, you know, when I look at what Aaron Judge is doing this year, and again, it's in context of the rest of the league. I mean, he's got an 1100 OPS and everyone else is, you know, Goldschmidt's probably within 100 of that or so, but everyone else is low 900s, 57 homers. The next guy's 37. You know, he's stealing bases. He's playing center field. He's gotten big hit after big hit. I mean, he's everything an MVP would ever be. So, yes, it is hard for me to envision him not winning the award.
And on the possibility of losing Judge,
have you allowed yourself to think that he might not be back next year? Have you let your mind go there?
No, I don't go there.
Do you think he will be back? Do you think he will be back?
I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
He's really been – I've been asking that, Michael, throughout the summer. He really seems to be on some – you know, his public stance is not even wanting to consider the option.
You know what? I will tell you this, Peter. He probably has no idea what the Yankees plan to offer Judge. That's above his pay grade. He manages who they give him on the roster. So if it's a bad roster, it's not his fault, right? And if they don't sign Aaron Judge, it's not – Aaron Boone's going to have nothing to do with Aaron Judge signing or not. It's going to be about money. So Aaron Boone's not involved with the money. So I think he's being legitimate when he doesn't know. He hopes not, but I don't think he has. I mean, Brian Cashman has not, like, come down to him and said, yeah, we're going to give Judge $40 million a year for 8 years. I don't think he's
done that. They don't need to have a conversation where they go, hey, Aaron, let us know what you think. Is this worthwhile? Like, the numbers are, they've seen it all. They don't need his input on it.
He loves Judge. He even said on our show, Judge is his favorite player. He has the best relationship with him. He loves him.
The only way anybody within that organization could know that Judge is coming back is if they believe they will do whatever possible. Whatever they have to pay him, they'll pay him.
And still you don't even know, because let's say he doesn't want to come back. I don't think that's
the case.
Well,
I don't think.
Then they don't know. But I think there are three people that know the Yankee thinking. Steinbrenner, Randy Levine, and Brian Cashman. What they'd be willing to go to. Those are the three. And they haven't leaked it out.
That'll do it for Diamond Notes, brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you. And Nissan's got an exciting, exciting full line that will actually put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Michael cares less about the aforementioned person than he even would about the goosebumps on your goosebumps.
What I do care about, and if you think that I was going to let it go without pointing it out, you spilled some kind of juice all over your face because you don't know how to drink out of a cup.
It was coffee.
It was disgusting. It was on camera.
I'm aware. I'm
I
sure.
I need a replay.
Ray would be very upset about it. It was a poor drinking effort from me.
It's like you have a drinking problem.
Oh, I haven't heard this yet. We have audio of Dave Rothenberg celebrating the missed field goal from Sunday. Let's go back.
Miss it. Block it.
Why?
He missed it. No go! We win! We win! We win! Let's go!
Wow. Clown.
An absolute barbarian.
Really? He belongs in a home.
What is so wrong with that? Listen, I think his kid should be taken from him, all right?
Well, then we would get this audio, though.
We win!
In that particular moment, come on.
Let's go!
Listen to the voice, Don. It's guttural. It's scary.
Let's go!
It's maniacal. That's not a normal human being. Listen to that.
We win!
First of all, you are not a Mara. You are not a Tish. You didn't win anything. They did.
No, I listen, you guys would hate me. When I do my weekly call-in on DC Radio, I wee the Commanders the entire call.
Well, I'm glad you wee them.
I don't think... Now, he doesn't have the voice necessarily that Dave does, so he wouldn't sound exactly alike. But, Andrew, you're with me. That's no different than the way you would celebrate a big Eagles win.
Nothing. Let's go!
I mean, yeah, like you said, other than the voice, there's nothing wrong with what he did there.
Yeah, no, that's...
It's the right way to react
to
a win.
But I'm saying
like
the voice is concerning.
Well, that's his voice. What can he do?
No, that's not the voice he uses on the air. He's screaming at the top of his lungs like a lunatic.
I will say... I'm pretty close to that. In my house, on a big Commanders play, I scream, Bear starts barking. It's a whole thing.
Right. No, the reason I think the kid should be taken away is that if that particular moment happened during his son's wedding, the reaction would have been the same because he'd be home watching it on television and
right.
his son would be married without his dad.
That's but
also,
thing.
Why was the kid like taping his father? Did he want to see him do something like bust
they
a blood vessel?
They know he's crazy. Or maybe they're doing it to put together a nice like dossier that they
see,
can
that
send
I
in.
Like. That I like, yeah.
This guy's capable. This guy has taken the DVD of his wedding, smashed it to the
he's
ground.
He's thrown a treadmill
right.
through the window.
So it probably this could be evidence. This could be the Citizen app video that's used during something the really bad that happened.
Very well said.
So I get why there's audio and maybe possible video of it, but just isolating that particular moment, I would think most Giant fans celebrated in similar fashion.
Speaking of the Giants.
Let's go!
Let's hear about the challenge thrown down to Giants fans from Mart Winkendale.
What?
Sorry, Mark.
Okay.
I know we're talking about, changing the culture and changing the culture defensively. This is one of the biggest change you'll see is this week to bring back great defense in this facility. And I've only lived here for a short period of time, but I know New Yorkers are loud. We need to be loud in that stadium. They have to go on silent count. If you want to be part of changing this culture here with the Giants, be loud, all right, and have that place rocking where people don't want to come to our stadium, okay? We'll take care of the rest. All right, and we'll give you something to be loud about.
Will you?
But just be loud. I can't wait to see it.
I pass to Don LaGreca to get his
Let's go! Oh,
so do I. He might sound like Rothenberg now.
I just get so disgusted when coaches do this, especially guys that have been here for 5 minutes. Hasn't coached a game as the defensive coordinator in the building in the regular season yet. And he's telling the fans to be loud. Giant fans who are as passionate as any in the NFL that show up even when the team is awful. And the only reason that there's even the possibility of getting tickets is because ownership decided to extort their fans with PSLs. Otherwise, there'd be a 25,000-person waiting list to be able to get into the building. They've won exactly 12 games at home in the last 5 years. And they still care about this team, and they still love the team. And I need a guy that's been here for 5 minutes to tell me to get loud? Believe me, if you're good and you're playing well, that building can be loud. But do not get on the Giant fans. Well, you want to be part of the culture. What part of the culture? They're part of the fabric of the organization. They've been here before you. They'll be here after you. They're paying money through the nose to be able to go for parking and tickets and for beers. Well, they got a free medium Pepsi last year on Fan Appreciation Day?
Oh, that was nice.
Believe me, these fans have been through a lot. Disgusting 5 years. But they know good football when they see it, and they'll be loud when they need to be loud. Believe me. Okay, I've been in that building. I've been a Giant fan forever. This is the organization that started the chant defense before you were even born.
It's so true, Don.
Like, come on.
The building, when a team plays well, if you're a team with a history, historic team, history franchise, it will turn up. I mean, you guys know Washington has been a joke crowd-wise. Unlike New York, where the fans have stayed, it is emptied out at FedEx. But even there, when they put together a few wins, it gets loud. You got to just play well.
but I don't need to hear from the new regime to tell us to get loud. We know football, okay? We've seen football. We've seen winning football, all right? The atmosphere for that championship game against the Redskins in 86 was as great as any that we've seen in sports in New York. But you're calling – let's make no mistake. You're calling out the fans. Be loud. Don't tell us how to be, all right? We know.
Wink.
We've been here forever, whether it's Yankee Stadium, the Yale Bowl, Polo Grounds, Old Giant Stadium, MetLife. Believe me, they know when to get loud. They know football. They don't need the first-year defensive coordinator of the team, oh, get loud if you want to be part of the culture. We're part of the fabric. We are the organization.
Let's hear how it makes me sick.
Peter, this isn't new, because Don felt the same way when Rex Ryan pulled the same nonsense.
I just hate – listen, I don't think it comes from a place of ill will. Like, and I don't think
– No, it's tone deaf.
It's just not understanding who you're talking to, what these fans have been through, the money that they pay to be there, the loyalty in which they express. This is not College Town. Yay! It's opening day. Yay! If those fans are ticked off, if they're sitting on their hands, it's because they've seen garbage for 5 years.
Michael, we have a drop from Don that sums up, I think, how he feels about Wink Martindale.
Okay.
You remember when he wanted to beat me up?
Yep.
And he said, don't talk to me that way?
Don't talk to me that way.
That's how he feels towards Wink.
See, now, if Wink was smart, though, and the Giants were smart, they want the crowd to get loud. Just play the Rothenberg video.
Let's go! We're in!
Keyshawn Johnson. It's very college. It's very tone deaf. Not understand. Stop it. John Maris should take him aside and said, no, you don't talk about our fans that way. Believe me, they'll show up. Greek just texted me because he went to Nashville for the game. He said there were 30,000 Giant fans in the building for the Tennessee game on the road. They travel as good as any fan base outside of maybe Dallas with their fans all over the place. And I don't know how much they travel. It's just New Jersey and New York Cowboy fans going to the game. But Giant fans getting on planes, crisscrossing the country to see their team play. Okay, get loud. All right, fine.
Keyshawn on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, like me, likes the Giants this weekend.
I'm going with the Giants in this situation. I just feel like it was all cool that Baker played against Cleveland and he had a nice little play here and there and everybody got hyped about it. Their rush defense in Carolina is suspect right now. And I like the fact that Saquon Barkley is off to a good start. And I'm going to roll with the Giants.
Me too, Keyshawn.
Let's go!
Now, let's hear someone who
can drops
be very
that life, buddy.
So yeah, it does. Someone who could be very helpful to this football team is Kayvon Thibodeau, and he was asked how his knee is feeling.
Feels a lot better. I've just been making really good gains every day and just continuing to kind of bring back those reps in a different kind of motion and kind of getting comfortable back, you know, in my position.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Hi.
Remember when Anthony played that drop while we were talking to him and he was very confused? Although it provided the only entertaining part of the interview, so
there was a lot going on there, Mike.
You're welcome.
And by the way, by a lot you mean nothing.
He did us the favor, and we overstepped our bounds by having it go like 2 seconds too long.
It was 5 minutes long. He was pained by this. Saquon, he was not the great Saquon Barkley, or maybe of our two training camp days, Don. Both days, which were impeccably timed, by the way. The MVP, I believe, best interview.
Oh, I got mine.
It was GW.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson was terrific.
What a kid. Have you heard him yet, Michael?
No.
He's special. I wish we'd had sauce.
Sauce?
Let's stay football. This is interesting. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel on not showering. What?
I get more sleep now than I did in my past endeavors, partially because it didn't matter. I used to be able to really push it from game day to almost Wednesday without showering. Now that would be obvious. I can't hide. So you prioritize that, and then that's something that I knew had to be adjusted.
How do any coaching marriages survive? How?
I mean, people know what they're signing up for, and they enjoy the lifestyle, and they're not looking for what we consider traditional partnership?
I guess. Because you know, like, when the Jets got back from Jets were home. At the end of that game, right? You know Saleh and his coaches stayed there all Sunday night into Monday morning. They didn't go home.
Oh, yeah.
They broke down tape.
Well, I remember talking to Jim Fossil when I covered the Giants in 99. They had like a Monday night game in Minnesota or something. You know, and then he's there for the 11 a.m. press conference, you know, at Giants Stadium the next day. You think he slept? You know, he'd say, you get off the plane, you go in, you start looking at the film. Next thing you look, oh, it's 10:30. I got to get ready for the press conference. I think that there's a lot of work that goes into being a coach, but I also think there's a lot of golf aspect to it where it's, oh, no, I got to be at the office on. I got work to do. I think sometimes it's a convenient way of making it, A, look like you're really all in because you're never home and you don't do the holidays. And also, you don't feel like doing it anyway.
What if you're already worth like $500 million? Mm-hmm. You refuse to retire and you play until you're an old man. And everyone in the public knows your wife wants you to come home. And instead, while still playing, you actually sign up for your next job when your career ends so you can leave again.
Oh, see, what are you talking about?
I'm glad you brought this up because I have a question to ask about it.
Well, hold on. You know what? Can we tease it?
Ooh.
Because there's Brady. There's some Brady news.
Hmm.
Okay, sure.
Well, no. Ask the question. We'll answer it on the other side.
Okay, my question is, why is this all being aired in public? She's being interviewed by a major magazine and talking about how, you know, he's not present. And he's saying, I'm 45. There's a lot of things that, why do we all have to know? Why does that have to be a soap opera for all of us?
We'll answer that question, as well as there's a bunch of other big stories to get to. A little bit more ENN next, right here on the K-Show on 98.7. And yes.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Michael, I just have to say a quick thing to you. I don't want to dwell on it, but I did have to just mention it to you.
Okay.
Did you see the Kyrie Irving story today?
Yep. I didn't even bring it up because I think it will tilt politically, and we don't want to do that.
Really? I don't see the political part. I actually don't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't. I think the content of what was said is sort of irrelevant. But Kyrie deciding to go on Twitter or Instagram stories and post a 2002 Alex Jones video is everything I ever needed to know about the fact that Kyrie educates himself on YouTube and reading blogs. Like, it to me, it's just the absolute proof that he can find an old clip from a Sandy Hook denier who's since now been proven in court to be an absolute kook whose own lawyer said you shouldn't listen to literally. And Kyrie's posting his videos 20 years later?
I think Kyrie just likes to stir it up. He likes to instigate and agitate.
And it had actually been quiet here for the last month.
Also, one quick thing. Our very own Marley Rivera said a Major League source told her that Major League Baseball is not retiring Clemente's number 21 today.
It's interesting because it's deserved, but
I think it'll happen at some point.
I just think that you listen what he meant to the Latino ball player, how he died, the philanthropy off the field, and just a tremendous human being. But at the same time, there's been other tremendous human beings. How you want to make sure that when you do it, it's not something that you just dive into all the time, right? I mean, Jackie Robinson aside, that was special and the circumstances were universal. I think I would have no problem if they did it for Roberto Clemente. But I can also stand erring on the side of this is something that we don't want to, you know, do every 10 years and devalue the times it has been done.
I'll just say this. If you're going to do it, can you just do it in Pittsburgh, not at Citi Field? That's
I understand. It's baseball, right? Like, they're doing the right thing, and it ends up not working out for them. Like, it just turns out that this is the first day of the Heritage Month, and it's going up against an NFL game, and the Pittsburgh Pirates are on the road. It's just, it's odd, but I get it.
Michael, you asked the question, why is the Brady thing playing out in public? Because, yes, Giselle did a big interview this week, and it seems like every day more is leaking out about their marriage being in shambles. And you have to think they'd be able to keep this quiet if they wanted to. No?
Of course. Of course. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To leave training camp for 11 days – and I get your marriage should be more important than football. Then you shouldn't have unretired then. You're going to patch it up on an 11-day vacation? Really? Really? That's going to work.
I think we sometimes overrate how hard it is to keep quiet. It's not hard.
Don, the secrets that I have I have not let out.
But I'm just talking about high-profile people. When people are pestering and they're asking questions and all that, I mean, you choose to sit down and do interviews. That's on you. Let people speculate all they want or whatever, and I guess you can't help from close family members sometimes spilling the beans. But if you want to keep quiet and deny, even Tom Brady and his wife could do that.
But he opened up the whole window by leaving camp for 11 days, and nobody does that. He's got to answer why. That's where it started. And then she's doubling down. Stop. We don't want to know your personal business. Is he going to play football or not?
Oh, people want to know.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Another quarterback who's been in the news for different reasons this summer was Lamar Jackson. And Lamar says he's done talking about his contract with the Ravens.
You know, respectfully, I'm really done talking about it. You know, I told you guys before, you know, I was going to be done with it. You know, week one's over with. We're done talking about it, you know. I'm going to focus on the Dolphins now.
Are you able to explain why the guaranteed money was so important to you?
Like I said, you know, I'm done talking about that respectfully, you know. Dolphin time, man.
He said respectfully, so.
Yeah, and then that should be it. Now, that should be it. And then the PR director's got to say, all right, no questions about – so because he can't mess around and answer a couple and then try to shut it down.
No.
Then that is now it.
I have to imagine he's literally answered – this is the one thing
– It doesn't.
That actually, I have two things, guys. We played Bart Scott's rant earlier this week where he complained about the beat reporters for football teams, and he specifically called out Rich Cimini. Mm-hmm. Two things. One, moments like this sour people on the beat reporters. They've no doubt been asking Lamar about this every single day for 3 months. There's no chance everyone has not asked about it at some point, constantly. And sometimes the inability to let it go. I mean, it's one thing if it's like, if you're pressing the president of the United States on national security issues that are important, okay. But this isn't that.
All right.
And then furthermore, Cimini had a tweet this morning that I thought was a little kind of played into what Bart was saying. Do you guys see it?
I saw that you were interacting with somebody on Twitter about it. I didn't get a chance to see what Cimini had written or tweeted.
I want to try to find the exact language. It was basically, I'd kind of defended him in saying that he doesn't editorialize. He tweeted this morning or yesterday. So to summarize the day in Florham Park in one tweet, not the same old Jets, but it is the same old quarterback. #Jets.
No. I think he was being cute with words, meaning that Flacco's going to start again.
Right.
Editorializing.
The situation's not good. But so what does Bart Scott and the players want? Rich Cimini to talk about how Flacco is still a starting quarterback in this league and still have an excellent chance to beat the Cleveland Browns? Like, what do you want? And the whole idea of you're either for us or against us, get off the bandwagon. What bandwagon is Rich on?
But I will just say, if he wanted to make it, there's no slant to it at all. He could have said, so to summarize the day in Florham Park in one tweet, not the same old Jets, which is in quotes. But they will be starting the same quarterback in Joe Flacco.
But he's turning a phrase. Yeah. He's a good writer.
I know, but turning the phrase to me is sort of taking a mini jab.
Okay, you know what? To all the people that are upset, grow a pair.
Come on, really, honestly, that's a jab that you can't take. Now, Rich is a bad guy and he's anti-Jet.
I like
having
Hughes.
A little turn of phrase around about it, because there was not speculation and questions asked on whether Mike White should be the starting quarterback against Cleveland.
I think it's a brilliant line.
So he's saying it's not the same old Jets off of what Saleh said, but it's the same old quarterback.
The old quarterback is Joe Flacco.
Listen, if that's all it takes, Peter, and I'm not getting on you.
No.
But if that's all it takes for the players to think that Rich Samini's a bad guy, then they want a pom-pom waiver. They want it like in college, like where everything is positive and we're rooting for you. Keep going. We're really hoping that you could win. Well, that's not the way it is, and that's not journalism. That's not the way the media is supposed to be. And I got news for Bart. That's not the way Bart is. Bart gives his opinion. Is Bart sugarcoating things? I've heard him give opinions. I've heard he's the one that came on and said he doesn't think that Kansas City's making the playoffs. Does he have to apologize to Patrick Mahomes for having that opinion?
And who's the quarterback, Don, that he says has small hands and he uses a disparaging euphemism about it?
About
Pickett?
The Pickett in Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, he uses a small hand and out. I mean,
so should he apologize to him? Should he?
We're in the entertainment industry. He's trying to entertain and be provocative.
Well, we're having opinions, and we give opinions in entertaining ways, and it's not that we're not rooting, or we all have our interests, but the point is we're paid to give opinions. And it's weird. These players just think because you cover the team that you're now a member of the team and you're supposed to be supportive and you're rooting for the team. That's not Rich's job. Rich's job is to give information and sometimes give opinion. But I don't even think that's opinion, Michael. That's just him as a nice writer kind of having a fun way of saying that of the two big stories. Saleh said that it's not the same old Jets and they're coming back with Flacco. Listen, I know we come across as shills in the media and we're trying to support our own, but what do the players actually want, guys? What do they want?
I mentioned it once earlier, but it bears repeating. Roger Federer has called it a career at 41 years old. The man was crazy. 20 Grand Slam titles. Now, he ends up right now just short of Novak Djokovic, who has 21 majors, and too short of Nadal, who has 22. He still has the most major match wins, 369 to Djokovic's 334 and Nadal's 313. And ATP titles, he has 103 to Djokovic's 88 and Nadal's 92. But guys, Federer may not have the same amount of titles when it's all said and done as Djokovic and Nadal. He already doesn't. He's third. But when it comes to the length of time that he dominated, he might still be the greatest of all time.
And you hear nary a word of negativity about him. The guy handled himself with class all the time. There's no backstage stories that make you roll your eyes because they're not public. There are famous people that we know stuff about that it's just not out in public, but we know. And we just laugh and people go, oh, he's so great. I love him. He's my favorite player ever. And then you realize he's trash. Roger Federer, there's no one that would say anything bad about Roger Federer. He's handled himself in the best way.
And he was number one for something 4 years straight. I mean, he's just was so absolutely dominant.
We were number one for a couple of years straight.
That's true.
Yeah. If you're a fan of tennis, and I know you are, Peter, we've been spoiled to watch over the last 20, 25 years, the greatest that the sport has ever had.
Absolutely.
That's not to take away from Don Lever or any of the people from in the past, but to go from Pete Sampras to Roger Federer, to see Nadal at the same time as Federer, really. And then obviously you go to the women's side with Serena. It's incredible.
What did Don just call Rod Laver?
Called him Don.
Well, because I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me.
Because Don Lever was the first ever captain of the New Jersey Devils.
Well, but that's
and I'm proud that I made the mistake. I'm going to stand for my finest moment today.
And that's Don being Don.
Because it wasn't that I'm a yo-yo. I know that Lever existed and he was a great tennis player as I stand.
Lever.
I'm doubling down. Okay. But it came from a place of true Don.
It did.
It came from a place of true. It didn't come from absent-mindedness. It came from a place of ignorance, but ignorance so Don. I honored myself. I honored myself during that moment. And I'm proud. And you know what? I'm going to continue to do it. He's forever Don Lever to me. Don Lever, Don Lever, whatever. Pull the lever. Pull the string.
Lastly,
he's standing up. His belly is on TV right now.
Well, lastly, a mega fight may be on the way. It looks like Errol Spence Jr. and Terrence Bud Crawford have agreed to terms.
But you know the first captain of the Devils.
That's right.
They're two of the best fighters in the world.
We're blessed to know him, Peter. We really are.
I know. Bud Crawford is ESPN's number one pound-for-pound boxer and the top welterweight in the world.
Well, that's
Spence
awesome.
Has the WBC, WBA, and IBF titles, so it would be something. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday, September the 15th.
Is Bud Crawford the guy that used to be a sidekick for Letterman, Don?
No, I think he was a former defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, Bud Carson. That's the only Bud's I really. He just talked about two fighters that are the greatest fighters in the world. Michael, I never heard of either of them, and I'm sorry to say that. It makes me embarrassed as somebody that used to be a boxing fan. I did not know those two people existed 30 seconds ago. Does that make me a bad person?
Yes. Right. We'll come back, and we'll talk to a guy that you know very well, guy you love.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Grasso. But we're going to surprise you, Don. We're going to have Don Lever on. We've hunted him down. We're going to have Don Lever on, the first captain of the Devils. That's next, right?
Well, don't mock it. It's something.
Oh. And he defends it to the hilt, Peter.
That's what makes him great.
Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Ignorance so Don.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.